Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Hello, we are on episode number
76.
We're so excited to have you guys here. Yeah. I know it's been a long time. Lots of us got sick over the holidays.
But we went over this.
Shama's like, can we not talk about this anymore?
I just like ragging on you a little bit, shall we?
I know, it's one of my
favorite things to do. But yeah, if you are following us on Instagram, thank you so much. If you ever have a comment, question, concern about anything that you hear, please send us a DM at
Modern Yogi Podcast.
And we are happy to get back to you. All right. So we are on chapter 10.
Yes.
Text number 4-5.
Yes, we are. What did we talk about last time, guys?
Oh,
couple episodes were such high energy, great episodes. If you haven't checked them out, go back. Oh, I wasn't volunteering to recap. I was just saying I love them.
Yeah. So the last couple episodes, we ended chapter 9, and then we started this brand new chapter called chapter 10, The Opulence of the Absolute. Mm-hmm. And so this is where Krishna really gets into talk about who he is. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, who he is might seem like a theme we've been on for the entire Bhagavad Gita. Like, aren't we constantly talking about who Krishna is? But each time he takes us deeper and deeper and deeper to his more intimate, like, inner circle, right?
Yeah, I also think he talks about himself, but he also talks about us. So it's like an actual real relationship. In a relationship, you get to know that person and they get to know you. So Krishna, in this case, kind of knows everything. So he's like, let me tell you about you and then let me tell you about me.
Right. Isn't there a song like that?
Let me tell you about you, then I'll tell you about me.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Let's talk about you, baby.
Nope, that's a different kind of song, Shabali.
Oh. Okay.
It kind of goes like that. You were singing it correctly, but I think the meaning might be something else.
I don't know
else.
The rest
some,
of the song, so let's just forget about it.
Okay,
I don't know. Rewind.
Anyways. All right.
But you know what's great is that we're on chapter 10, text number 4 or 5 together, okay? And that's all that matters.
Honestly, I feel like we didn't get really far into chapter 10.
Yeah.
We basically got a few texts in, and Krishna was just saying that he is the source of everyone, even the demigods and the sages.
And there was one episode, whether it was the last one or the one before, we broke down some really controversial topics that arise here that for all of us, even when you first read it, it's a little like, oof, okay, let's sit through this. And
scandal.
It felt like we went through a journey together and we came out on the other side. Like, I was so proud of us and how we handled it. I'm not going to say what to leave the mystery hanging. So you have to go back to listen to it to find out. But I was really happy with how we did those verses justice.
That was fun.
Explaining kind of the times, the context that this was taking place. That's important to understanding the deeper meanings.
Yeah. Honestly, guys, I feel like there is not much to recap so far for chapter 10 because we're kind of just getting started. Yeah. So should
the
we just...
The invocation, please, ladies.
Yes.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation. I was born in the darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
All right. Chapter 10, text number 4-5. It's like a two-parter in one.
It really is.
In one verse, right?
It really is. It's a big text. When you just said, I offer my obeisances unto them, it reminded me, I was just reading Srimad Bhagavatam with a friend and we were taking turns reading. And everything was like, and he said this, and for the man, and, you know, it was like very he, because that's how most books are written anyways. And so she kept switching it to she, because it was me and her reading it. And I was thinking them is actually the perfect word.
You know, we're very progressive here at the Modern Yoga Podcast, okay? We're what the kids say, what is it, woke? We're pretty woke.
Oh, I don't think they say that anymore.
Nobody says that.
It's just our generation that says that.
I just started saying eyebrows are on fleek, and now I heard no one says that anymore. And then people say woke, and then no one says woke anymore.
But you know what's beautiful? We don't even have to make up like them. That's actually like Radha and Krishna are the masculine and feminine forms of divinity that really is embedded in our tradition. So it's so beautiful. We're just like doing justice to what's already there.
Yeah.
On fleek.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. It's just very inclusive. So yeah. Anyways, I just reminded me of that for a second. But yes, text 4/5.
All right. Thank you, Priya, for reading this giant verse for us.
Fortunately, it's very simple. Intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, control of the senses, control of the mind, happiness and distress, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, nonviolence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame and infamy. All these various qualities of living beings are created by me, Krishna, alone.
Wow, there's a lot of commas in there.
Okay. Oh, there was.
So there's like a laundry list of things that are created by Krishna.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
He's just giving us examples. Like these are just like some of the few.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting? There's good things and bad things in there. So like Krishna creates everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. The dualities of life, even the ones, the aspects we don't like, those also come from Krishna.
Yeah. So I think we're going to just break it down one by one. Yeah?
Yeah. Let's dive in.
Cool. Shamla, you want to start us off?
Yeah. Well, already I have a few thoughts on the first, what we just said, the good and bad just come from Krishna. I think that's a huge aspect to highlight before we're going to dive into the whole laundry list, as Shama says. Nothing can manifest itself in this material world that isn't already in Krishna. So oftentimes we think that might lead someone who's newer to think, oh, even bad things can come from God, can come from Krishna. What does that even mean? So I just have a couple thoughts that I want to break down. Number one is scientifically, we cannot have more than our source. So if we've all accepted the premise that we come from Krishna, we come from God, He is our source and our origin, how can we have more things, negative things that He doesn't have? So that already has to, like, you wrap yourself with the thought of—
Interesting.
You know what I mean? Like, bad things can't come from God, but how can we have more than our source? That just doesn't factually line up.
Yeah. Also, right? If you think about it in the other way, if we have something He doesn't have, that means He's limited. And how can God be limited?
Right. Yeah. God's not limited. We don't have more than our source. That's a great, complimentary point. So we have to accept everything, good and bad, comes from Krishna. And I don't know how much we've delved into this, but there's a concept in bhakti that this material world is like a perverted reflection of what's in the spiritual sky. So that's kind of to like follow up. It's not necessarily that God has bad qualities, so to speak. It's just that everything that manifests itself in this material world is a perverted reflection. So go ahead.
Finish your thought process and then I'll add something to that.
So for example, distress, envy, that competition, greed, all these qualities that we think, how could that exist in heaven, in the spiritual realm, within Krishna? It does, but in the purest form in heaven. You know what I mean?
I have an example for that.
Okay,
so
go
for example, think about fear, right? Fear can be perceived as a bad thing. If you're fearful, then that means that you're maybe not going to— I mean, if we take it to an extreme, that someone who's fearful might not want to ever get on a plane, or may not ever want to really approach people because they might be afraid of how they might be perceived, right? Like if fear is taken into an intense degree, but fear is also a positive quality.
Right.
So like in the spiritual world, fear can be used in a positive way, in the sense that fear saves you from getting hurt. Right? Or fear lets you know that, oh, there's danger or there's something. So it's just a mechanism for the body. And so here it becomes more of a negative quality. Is that what you were kind of saying?
Yeah, I think that could be one. I mean, I'm saying the overarching umbrella. So what you're saying is like maybe one facet of it. There's so many ways we could explain this, because that's a big concept, that everything is the perverted reflection. So yeah, that's a good example of like fear, which might be negative, has a positive form, because in the spiritual realm, everything is Sat Chit Ananda, which is what again?
Truthfulness.
Eternality
and happiness.
Bliss.
Eternality, bliss, and happiness. No,
yes.
Sorry.
Eternality, full of knowledge, full of happiness, full of knowledge
and
full
of eternality. Yes. No, that I did that also. I got confused because I said happiness and bliss as two separate points,
but
I was like, wait a second.
We've mentioned all the things.
Right. We've mentioned it.
Everyone knows.
Knows. So in the spiritual realm, everything is composed of those pure qualities. So even when the quote unquote negative sides that we have in this material realm manifest in the spiritual world, they're positive. So the example I thought of, which fear, which you brought up, Priya, is a very human relatable side. I thought of something like everyone in the spiritual realm wants Krishna, wants to spend time with Krishna. So you have different camps of gopis, which are his, we've talked about, what are gopis? His eternal associates. How would you put
his that? Lady friends, but his, not like that.
Not like that, right. So his lady friends, but not like that. So there's kind of this playful competition between two camps of Radha, which we've said is like the topmost feminine form of divinity. There's no one to Krishna like Radharani. And there's another camp, the Chandravali's camp, which is another side of the gopis. And there's all this competition. They're both always vying for Krishna's attention. So there's maybe this kind of spiritual envy, jealousy, all these qualities that come out between them, but it's not in the way that it manifests itself in this material world, because there, everything, they're already pure, ultimately liberated souls. And I think the key difference there is that everything that manifests itself there is to increase the love of Krishna, versus here, if envy, jealousy, greed come out, we're operating from a lower consciousness. So it's for our own gain. And I think that's a key difference there. If they feel it, it's operating on the purest platform and it increases their love for Krishna.
So so if I'm hearing you correctly, Shamli.
Yes.
So in this material world, the day that we're recording this is the Super Bowl. Okay. It's a very big American holiday.
Yes.
You know, it's a big deal, right?
Big deal.
There's a lot of competition, a lot of envy. Yes. Everyone's fighting for, what are they fighting for? They're fighting for name, fame, money, you know, that's right? They're like bragging rights, all that stuff. But if you put that same energy of competition and envy into a good thing,
right?
And you fight for Krishna's love and you're competitive for Krishna's love and you're envying other people because they get to be closer to Krishna, that is like the good reflection.
Yeah, because you're seeking, you're putting all that energy into something everlasting.
Right.
Like they won the Super Bowl. They want to win the Super Bowl for this year. Right. That's temporary. There will be another Super Bowl. You know, next year. So it's just, we can put our energy towards something that's eternal, or we can put our energy towards something that's temporary.
Right. Yeah. And even then, the quote unquote envy doesn't run so deep, because Radharani will be the first to, when there's someone new that wants to meet Krishna, she'll bring them directly to Krishna. She's not trying to hog him all to herself, you know? Right. So anyway, I just thought that could be an example that we can't fully understand it, but everything is spiritualized up there. So yes, these quote unquote negative qualities exist. Maybe the gopis feel distressed to be with Krishna, but it's different. Our distress is because, like what you said, the Super Bowl, we want our own.
Because we're perverts.
Yeah.
I mean, perverted reflection of the world. That's what I meant to say. I just blurted that out.
Speak for yourself.
We're all perverts. But I get what you're saying. Yeah.
And that when the final wrapping up thought then, with knowing how it plays out in the spiritual world, is we can try to spiritualize everything here. Every innate quality we have, try to spiritualize it.
Yeah. And I think it gets more and more into that as we go on in the text, unless you have something else to say. No. I was just going to say, like, Prabhupada breaks this down into each thing that was said in the text, and then he tells you what it refers to. And if you notice, everything kind of points back to Krishna.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So that's exactly what you were saying, right?
So should we go through all of them?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start.
Shama?
Yes. Intelligence was the first thing that Krishna mentioned. And Prabhupada said, intelligence refers to the power to analyze things in their proper perspective. Mm. And knowledge refers to understanding what is spirit and what is matter.
Yeah. Mm. So two different things, right? Because in the text, it said intelligence, knowledge, right? So two different things. And I thought it was really interesting because I thought intelligence, I never thought about what the actual definitions of intelligence is. And I think most people nowadays, if you think someone is intelligent, you think they know a lot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Or you think that they
read a lot of books.
Yeah. And if you think about a different kind of intelligence, maybe like street smarts or something, you think they have a lot of experience. It's it's often correlated to just information.
Right.
But here it's talking about the power to analyze things in their proper perspective, right?
And what does proper perspective mean to you guys then?
Well, if it's talking about in a material perspective versus a spiritual perspective, it could be a completely different thing.
Right.
Because if we're talking about like even material perspective, when you come into conflict, if you have intelligence, you're able to see what you perceive, what they perceive, and not have a clash of like, no, you're wrong, because you can understand both ideas, right?
Exactly.
Whereas if you're thinking about spiritual proper perspective, then you might be thinking, well, at the end of the day, the Super Bowl might or might not matter because, you know, my goal is to go back to Godhead.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of that perspective to everything's filtered through. What's the goal? It's a roadmap. Yes. I'm trying to get out of here. So how does this fit in that equation?
Yeah, I love that. That's really well said. And then knowledge, understanding what spirit and what is spirit and what is matter. Mm. We've talked a lot about this.
A lot about spirit and matter. Yep.
So just, you know, what's your soul and what's your body?
Right. Yeah, it's interesting because when we think of here, Prabhupada says in modern education, one might think, like you said in the beginning, someone who's very intelligent, he's an intellectual, knows a lot, has gotten all sorts of degrees, but that only deals with material elements and bodily needs in all their forms. You know, it's still in the material realm. Prabhupada basically saying academic knowledge is not complete. He's not saying it's unnecessary. We are in this world. We're not of this world, but we're in it now. So sure, get a degree. Play the game because, you know, you need to get a good job, support yourself, all that. Mm. But it's not just the whole picture.
Yeah, because another thing that kind of came up in my mind is that, like, knowledge, right? So, again, we were reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. One of the first things Prabhupada was saying was, like, no one even knows how their body works.
Mm.
Right? And I started thinking about this because I've been going through different doctors and stuff. But anyways, not one doctor can tell you what all is going on in your body.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's crazy because they've studied for years. And this is not to say anything about doctors. This is just to understand that the knowledge is so vast and we know so little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so having all this knowledge is useful, but the biggest knowledge to know is like what this life is for. Mm-hmm. Because even those that are like PhDs, double PhDs in something don't know.
Yep.
You know, that's all such truth. A good point, Priya, that we don't even know what's 100% going on with the full picture of our body. So my second thought was, so what to speak of then the whole universe, galaxies? We like to think like, oh yes, we know exactly how everything was created and nothing beyond our scope of knowledge even exists, you know? Like, how close-minded of us to think that?
Yeah. There's this meme I saw on Instagram that was basically like, you know, like modern education teaches us everything, math and science and everything that we need to know in between. But like when tax season comes around, no one knows how to do their taxes. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like
this
modern education, it doesn't prepare us for the actual things that we need to know in life. Like how do we control our mind? How do we control stress? How do we control anxiety? How do we deal with death? How do we deal with birth? How do we deal with our family members? Like how do we deal with like people in our life? Like all of the stuff that's in the Gita is so useful for like every single day life that you will never learn in a textbook in any school, you know?
Yeah.
And it definitely doesn't teach you about your taxes.
You know what? How many people graduate college with their nice degree and don't know how to move forward because they're so crippled by the bars of their mind.
Oh yeah.
The anxiety, the fear, all these things that cripple them from, they're just... Totally, paralyzed.
Yeah, because life is difficult and there's a lot of things to understand. But I also want to say, this is not to discourage anyone from going to school.
Don't get a degree.
I mean, all of us here have
just
gone
to... Just listen to the Modern Yoga Podcast.
That's the only thing you need. Just kidding. No. I have younger siblings. They have to go to college.
No, they have to go to school.
All of us
school's
sitting
important.
At this table have all gotten degrees. We all have our feet in one in each realm of the world, you know?
I mean, we're not from this world. We still have to live in it.
Absolutely. You know?
But
absolutely.
Just saying that none of our degrees have helped us with like meditation and like anxiety and stress.
Totally.
I think
after graduating college, I went through my biggest existential crisis and like, what is happening? What to do?
That checks out. Yeah.
You know?
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Anything
relatable.
Else on intelligence or knowledge, ladies?
No, that's good.
Perfect. Okay. Next one, Shamali.
You want to say the word?
Asamoha.
Okay. You can do better than
Asamoha.
That. Is it sa or sha?
I don't know.
I was leaving it to you guys.
All right, you give it a whirl.
I feel like it's Asamoha.
Sounds great.
That's what I said.
But I don't know.
Well, basically, what does it mean?
The only reason I said that to Shama is because I've heard her say Sanskrit words really beautifully.
Yeah, I
feel like she's just being silly
now. I'm intensely blushing right now. You've heard me speak Sanskrit so beautifully?
I have.
What? Okay, cool. Asamoha. Which means the freedom from doubt and delusion. Anybody wanted to tackle this one?
Freedom from doubt and delusion. It says, this can be achieved when one is not hesitant and that person understands a transcendental philosophy. Nothing should be accepted blindly, but it's important to understand the philosophy.
Right. Because I mean, without transcendental knowledge, let's all think of just our real life, our path, the ups and downs we've gone through, but take out this bhakti yoga philosophy, pretend you don't know it. Mm. Oh my God, how much bewilderment and doubt and anxiety and delusion would arise if we have no roadmap.
Yeah.
Like
I'm
all
bewildered
of the,
just thinking about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mind boggling.
I haven't heard that word in so long. Bewildered, but you used it so casually in a sentence. And I was like, it's true though.
I told a student the other day that I was teaching, he was looking at me all confused. And I was like, Will, don't be bewildered. And that looked like bewildered him even more. He looked at me like, what?
He's like, Miss Chamberlain, I don't know what that means.
That's so cute.
Yeah, but this transcendental philosophy gives us a roadmap. And I love, love, love that Prabhupada emphasizes to really analyze this, question it. Don't accept it blindly. Because how many paths, I mean, maybe not the path inherently itself, but how many people might just say, oh, accept it. Just have faith. That's right. The way it is.
Oh yeah.
You know?
And I think a lot of people who grow up with some sort of spiritual path that's like kind of pushed on them, like by their parents, they have to accept it blindly because their parents accept it blindly. Mm-hmm. Their grandparents mm-hmm. did. And everyone just accepted things blindly. And like, I remember just growing up Hindu, like I just accepted whatever my mom was doing, whatever I saw my parents doing. But it was only until I like questioned it and I like really like understood the why behind things. Mm-hmm. And I think understanding the why and asking deeper questions is so important. And Krishna talks about this, right? Because it does free you from these things. But yeah, just proceed with caution, Prabhupada says.
And I think asking the why sometimes can be hard because you don't even know where to begin, right?
Yeah.
So it's like as someone, I'm guessing that you like grew up Hindu, you're like, well, this is what I've been told to do my whole life. I mean, am I supposed to do this? But where would you even get your answer? Sometimes that is hard. So it's like, it's really wonderful when you meet like-minded people or when you find out about a podcast like this that answers your questions because... You know, like, for example, I want to work out, but I want to do weightlifting, but I'm like, I'm going to hurt myself. Mm. Like, how would I even do it? I just don't have that kind of knowledge right now. I mean, the internet has a lot of resources, so it's easier to go that way. And that's what I'm sure a lot of people do. But basically, don't get stuck. Find the answers.
Absolutely.
What's kind of cute is that freedom and doubt, like freedom from doubt and delusion also come from Krishna, too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really kind of nice to know that he's got us there, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that also means the more knowledge we have, the less doubts we have, and the less in illusion we are. Therefore, we feel more comfortable moving forward in life.
Yeah, right.
But there are, I'm going to be quite frank, there are times, sometimes when you were going through hard planetary periods, okay? I said it.
She brought up astrology.
I use the word planetary probably like every day in my actual, like in my personal life. My partner hates it. So like when we're going through like challenging planetary things, there are moments that I have doubt.
Right.
They're brief, you know, but like there are moments where you're just like, look up at the sky and you go, oh, why Krishna, why? Or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you existed, you would help me with this. Or like, you know what I mean? Like I still have... those moments, especially during rough days, you know?
Ooh, I have a thought about
that. Go.
Because I also have many like moments of doubts and anxieties. And I think what really helps is being able to sit with that and feel like I can sit through this and know that the answer will come. Because oftentimes if we feel we need the answer right away, that pushes us even further away because we're not going to get the answer right away. So a lot of our own maturity and spiritual life is being able to sit with the discomfort of not immediately getting an answer and immediately knowing why, but the answers will come the deeper you go. So just like keep moving forwards with patience, with care. It's like a real relationship that sometimes we don't fully understand every aspect of our partner and we might feel uneasy about something, but breathe through it, sit with that uneasiness and know that if you and your partner approach the problem together rather than you and your partner against each other, then you will get through it. I mean, maybe not. If it's a bad situation, maybe not, then you will realize, but time will bring clarity. So I just think with your spiritual path, it's a living, breathing relationship. So breathe through the anxiety and the doubt and know that the answers will come.
Yeah.
I love
that. Patience.
Yeah. I think that's very true. Sometimes we have little moments of freak outs and then we're like, I don't know if I believe anything or like whatever. Right.
Yeah.
And I think it's nice for you to give that advice because I think that's worked for me too. Just being able to say, well, I don't feel very good about this, but you know, or I don't know why Krishna would do this or why is this happening or whatever it might be. Right. And then a few days later, I'm like, well, but I love Krishna so much. I'm perfectly fine. It's going to be okay.
Yeah. And it happens, right?
Yeah.
There's this one of my favorite songs is this song called Those Who Caved In by this artist called Maria Mena. And I remember this one lyric because she says, let me know if you're ever feeling down, I'll open up and turn this world around. Mm. And I use that in my real life. When I actually have those bad days, I tell Krishna about those bad days. I tell Krishna, like, this is what's happening. Mm-hmm. And then literally in a couple days, I feel like he turns my world around.
Absolutely.
And it just requires patience and faith and, you know, and making sure those planets get out of that planetary phase. but you know what it does? Like, if you have those moments of doubt, like, tell Krishna, you know, like, talk to him about it. You can yell at him. You can joke around with him. You can be sarcastic with him. Like, have that relationship that's so personal, like a friend, where you can be like, okay, Krishna, I'm having moments of, like, I'm not feeling you around me, or I'm not certain that you're there for me. Like, just help me have that faith again.
Right,
and it works every single time.
Love that. And I love that, Priya, you called it a freak out, quote unquote, because sometimes it really is just us. We're going through something. We're overwhelmed. Our cup's full and we just have a little freak out moment and then breathe through it and it'll be fine. And it just made me think of my sister the other day, was so anxious about different things. And then later on in the evening, I was like, hey, baby Lou, you okay? And she says, yeah, I'm just a girl. You know, I'm just a girl. I freaked out. I'm fine. Uh-huh. Whenever she wants to kind of disregard something and brush up, I'm just a girl.
That's hilarious. What do you call your sister?
Baby Lou.
Baby Lou.
She's my little baby. She's younger sister.
That's really cute.
It also reminds me, I don't know if you've seen this like meme or whatever. It's like a little video on the internet. It's like a toddler like crying their lungs out because they're in a pool and they think they're drowning.
Oh, yes. And then what happens?
They're wailing. You know, like, they're dying and the mom's like, stand up. Stand up. And the kid's like, ah! You know, like, and then the mom's like, stand up. And then, like, picks him up and then the water was to his, like, knees. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's us sometimes.
Right. Oh, that feels so heavy.
And it's like, Krishna's like, you're going to be fine. Just breathe. Like, it's going to be okay.
That was a perfect meme to symbolize this.
Exactly.
That's so good.
Exactly.
That's really good.
All right. Anything else before we move on to
the next one? Let's do it.
Kashama. Is it Shama? How do you say that?
It is. I think it's Shama.
It's Shama, which is tolerance and forgiveness.
Now make me. Do you think it's Shama? It's K S A M A.
Shama. Yeah.
It could be like Shama.
Is it the Sha?
What is it?
I don't know. I'm asking. I'm wondering because of the A at the end has a little line. Well, it's like Krishna.
Is it Shama or Shama?
I think it's
Shama.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry for people who are hearing us go on the microphones. Anywho, it means tolerance and forgiveness.
Right. And Prabhupada says that this should be practiced and one should be tolerant and excuse minor offenses of others.
Yeah. And we've talked so much about this because if we're all in the spiritual path, Prabhupada has said before, we're like in the spiritual shower. Don't judge someone by the dirty water that runs off of them. No, we're all trying to get cleansed.
And someone cuts you off in traffic, you say, I'm a spirit soul. They're a spirit soul. I'm not going to kill them because they're a spirit soul. I can't even kill them. I'm a spirit soul. They're a spirit soul. So like, just repeat that to yourself every time you get mad and want to run someone over on traffic.
I love that. But wait, what are some not minor offenses? Because I don't know if that's the question I want to ask.
Murder.
But okay.
What is your question?
Okay. Let me tell you why. And the reason is I feel like I've met a lot of really loving people who take the Bhagavad Gita very seriously. And then when they read something like this, they might be like, well, I got to let go of everything that happens to me. And then there's very difficult things that happen. That, and then you're like, well, no, I'm supposed to be tolerant and I'm supposed to be forgiving. But honestly, it's not that forgiving always. We should really be forgiving, right?
Right.
But we should not always be tolerant because of certain things could end up being very damaging, right?
Absolutely.
So like abuse. I mean, we always go to extremes, but I feel like there's got to be everyday things that we can say like, hey, maybe we are not tolerant.
So,
so
are you asking what is between road rage and murder?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that is the question.
I have one very like pretty neutral thought that we also have to be honest with where we're at. So if I can be like Radna Swami and totally forgive everything and it won't affect me, fine. But if I'm going to not say anything and bottle it up and build resentment, that's not healthy to the relationship either.
Yeah.
And Keshav Maharaj often says our ability to go within is dependent on our ability to navigate our external relationships. Because if you're bothered by something, that affects how deep you can go within. So I'm a big proponent of communication. So if something really, let's say in a partnership, any form of partnership, friendships, romantic, parents, if something's bothering us, let's try to see how I can productively express myself, communicate, and let's see if we can navigate it. Because just ignoring it will make it bigger than what it really is. So trying to find a way to move forward. So I love always how he says that. Our ability to go internally is dependent on our ability to navigate our externals. And that's not talking about cases like abuse and stuff. That's talking about like if you're in a loving partnership with someone,
friend, or whoever,
things arise. We're human. Yeah. We're two separate worlds colliding and being able to communicate in a healthy way things that come up. And I think to me that would be like, yeah, you're being tolerant and you're being compassionate, but you're also finding how to continue forwards in an efficient way, you know?
Effective communication.
Absolutely.
Love it.
Or like, you know, if you get like bit by a snake. Like you're not sorry, gonna
sure. Sorry, say that again.
We give all the examples here at Modern Yoga.
We try to be really broad here. But I'm just saying like, we don't I don't know. I feel like there is a bit of that. I've met people with the mentality of, well, if something bad happens to me, I was meant to receive it. And then they go into a negative spiral. Mm-hmm. Also, like there's both sides to it, right? And I just feel like, okay, listen, if a snake bit you, you go and take care of it. You go to the doctor, whatever you need to do. And then you don't think that you just deserve that. And now like, you know, it's okay. That happened. That was some karma. You burned it off and we keep moving, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I think I have an example from, you know, in between road rage and murder that you were asking for, Priya. Okay. So like, you know, what was so interesting? I was telling like, Shamali and I were in a car accident in 2019. Really, really terrible car accident. We all survived. It was great that-
It was great.
I mean, fun times. But it was great that everyone survived. That's what I was saying. It came off so terribly. It was a great car accident. No, but it was, I was explaining it to someone who was a non-devotee. And like, I explained like the intersection and the speed and the other car. It was a Mini Cooper that hit us. And this non-devotee person, the first thing that they said to me was, oh my God, don't you hate that person in the Mini Cooper? And I thought about it and I said, there was 12 people that got hit in our van by that Mini Cooper. And not a single one of us said a bad thing about that lady who was driving. Mm-hmm. None of us ever said one single bad thing from what I hear in the conversations.
Right.
We never blamed her. We never like made fun of her. We never like cursed her. We never said a single bad thing. And when this non-devotee brought it up, that's the moment where I realized, oh my God. Like devotees handle these situations so differently than non-devotees. You
absolutely.
Know what I mean?
If anything, I feel like you guys were like, is she okay?
Yeah. You know, like, is she okay? Yeah.
What's going to happen?
And she ran, it was her fault. She ran a stop sign and who knows why she did that. But like, we never said anything. We were quick to be compassionate and tolerant and forgiving. Yeah. Because like, it was an accident.
I mean, because to me, that just highlights that bhakti is not just how many times am I going to go to the temple or how many times am I going to read the books? Mm-hmm. That's important. But it's also how am I going to apply this to everything? How is it going to shift every aspect that happens to me in my life is a totally radically different way of processing the world around us.
Yeah. Bhakti in practice.
Bhakti in practice. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Ooh, I like that.
That's our maybe next branch out podcast.
Yeah. Bhakti in practice.
I feel like, well, this is Bhakti in practice. But
this
maybe.
Now we go, it's a podcast in people's car, people who are prone to road rage.
Okay.
And then we actually set up the podcast in the cars.
We are not doing
Bhakti
that.
In practice.
This is why we have these meetings off air generally. And this is how they go. A little glimpse. Into it.
Okay, anything else?
No, but I just want to say that was a great example.
That was.
That was a great in between.
Right? I was so close to murder, but.
I love that example.
That
really good.
That was really good. Okay, what's next?
Satyam, which is truthfulness.
My favorite.
Okay.
My favorite.
Do you want to handle this? Do you want to talk about this one, Priya?
I don't know if I have anything necessarily to say, but okay. It says truthfulness. Facts. Okay, this is what Prabhupada says. Truthfulness means that facts should be presented as they are for the benefit of others.
Mm, well, this connects to communication, right?
Yeah, it does. And then he goes, according to social conventions, it is said that one can speak the truth only when it is palatable to others. But that is not truthfulness.
Ooh. I feel like you're looking at me, Priya.
Oh my God. No, I wasn't.
Okay, so I have a tendency to like white lie and like say if someone cooked you a pie, I'd be like, and it's disgusting, I'd be like, this pie is so good. You
oh
know?
My God.
So,
I wasn't even going to mention that at all.
But no, but you know, that can be kind. That could also be sweet because
kindness,
you're not.
Isn't that's, it?
It's a fine like, line because
sometimes
like,
you if, can't say the whole truth. If it's my grandma.
Well, my grandma's not even alive. But if it's a grandma that bakes you a pie, you don't want to break her heart. Yeah.
You're
she's
gonna
not
like,
going to change at 80 years old.
Honestly, you know, for me, I just have like, I'm just like, I think I'm the problem.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know how to explain this, but like, basically, if I don't like something, I just won't say anything.
Right, right. I mean, like, that's fine just, also. That's good.
I don't like, if it was my grandma, she made me something, I'd be like, thank you so much for making it.
Yeah.
But I would never be like, oh, it was delicious when I hated it.
Absolutely.
Like, and I would say it's delicious. Yeah. I was like, thanks, grandma. And then I would throw up in the trash can.
Oh my God. I love it because you're finding a way to be truthful and not hurtful.
Right.
Because what is it? There was a saying, honesty without tact is
cruelty.
Cruelty.
Yes.
Right. So you're trying to be honest in a way that's true for you, but also that doesn't hurt the other one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not perfect at this, but like, that's generally like my vibe. So
that's good.
That is a good vibe. I need to be more like you, Priya. I need to learn honest communication without telling white lies to make people feel good about themselves. But
I think you're really lovely. And I think,
lovely. That's kind of like there was a comedian last night that he's like, so I asked my wife the other day, am I sexy? And she responded, you're just so punctual.
That's funny.
Oh my gosh.
No, that's an insult. Really, I did not. I wasn't going in that
try
direction.
Try again, Priya.
No, okay. I didn't. You didn't let me finish.
I love these moments on air. Continue.
I don't even know what I was trying to say. Let me try.
You said I'm beautiful and lovely and I can't remember what other
adjectives
you used.
And I was just
going to
say that I honestly.
And a sociopathic liar. I think that's, what I heard her say.
I did not say that.
Pathological.
No, listen, I think I've learned that you literally only lie to spare people's feelings. And I feel like that is like a really loving thing.
Okay, but can I explain myself on air? Okay,
you don't
so
have to.
I feel like I need to explain myself, okay? Because, okay, I grew
We're
up
doing
in
therapy now.
Okay, so both of you are not like non-Indian bodies, right? Yeah, I grew up
correct.
As a tiny Indian girl, okay? And like... usually this culture is so strict that like I wasn't allowed to do anything. Like I wasn't allowed to go out. I wasn't allowed to watch TV. I wasn't allowed to do so many things. And so
you had to learn to lie to live a life.
Yeah. Basically, because I do this joke in my stand-up where I believe that all South Asian women can be pathological liars because we just have to lie to get out of the house and like for our own survival, right? And I feel like what I'm learning from you, Priya, is like, now that I'm adult, I don't need to do that anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, I've been conditioned to like, to say small lies just to so I could leave the house. You know what I mean?
No.
Like I used to tell my mom, like, oh, I'm going to, if I was going out to a party or something, I'm like, oh, I'm going to my friend Priya's house, so we're going to go study. You know what I mean? Like, we're
no,
just so
I totally
prone
get
to doing
it.
That.
I totally get it.
Yeah,
I, right.
But I'm learning from you.
You don't have to. I'm not that great or anything. But I wanted to compliment you. I wasn't trying to say anything.
Oh, okay. I'm all ears now.
That's all I was saying.
I won't interrupt.
I feel like it comes from a good heart and I totally understand your background. So
yeah,
totally.
I think there's moments and moments. And I think what you do, Shama, is perfectly sweet, is to spare the person. I think the time that, from the way I read it, if it affects the dynamic, then it's important to bring up. Mm. And I have a little example of that actually I talked about it last night to a friend. I don't think she hears the podcast.
Oh, God. Emily's like, is she one of our put some dirty laundry up in here?
No. It's actually sweet. It's a sweet thing because it's very broad. We a couple weeks ago, we went on a walk and she could feel my energy was a little, I was in a bit of a slump and I didn't really want to get into it with her. I didn't want to bring it. She's like, are you okay? I even had a dream the other day that you told me it was something I did. And I was thinking, oh, man.
You're like, I didn't want to go into
this. You got
in
a fight with her in her dream?
In her dream, like my dreams or me in her dream told her it was something you did,
oh,
whatever.
Wow.
That's why I'm in a slump and
oh, my
whatever.
Goodness.
So I was thinking, oh God, I don't even want to get into anything. I just wanted to go on a little walk. So she's like, is there something you want to tell me? Are you okay? And I was like, nah, I'm fine. I promise. Let's just walking it out, airing it out will make me feel better. I'm fine. And she kept kind of like looking at me, checking in. I was like, nah, I'm good. I'll be good. I was in a bit of a slump, but I just felt like, not even worth bringing it up. I don't want to get into it. I'm fine. Time will pass. I'm good. We're good. Anyway, so then I could feel for the weeks after that, I could feel something, I don't know, something subtle within her. I could feel this block that I wasn't able to like I feel like maybe it wouldn't be perceivable on the outside, but I could feel I wasn't able to connect to something truthful within her. Like she was trying to be overtly happy. And I felt like, girl, what's up? What, this is a little weird, huh? We're off our flow. So then finally last night, somehow it came up and she said, I could feel her starting to say something. And I kind of like, she was having a hard time putting it to words. So I told her like, did you feel that because I didn't tell you what was going on, I didn't let you into my inner circle and that made you doubt how much I felt for you? And she's like, I love that you can communicate like that. Exactly. Thank you for saying it. And I was like, no. And I hugged her. I was like, don't ever doubt that I love you. And the next time you do, let me know so I can clarify, you know? So it was nice because... So I'm bringing this whole little example to say, maybe Shama, the little white lies you might tell her to spare someone's feelings, and I think that's kind. But if, for example, my friend who didn't bring up what she was feeling and it kind of created a little whatever, it's nice then when you can have those moments to like bring up what you feel. And that ties back to what Keshav Swami says, navigating your external inner personal communication it's difficult, it's uncomfortable, it's messy, but... And anyway, this is on my mind because it just happened last night. And it wasn't even like a fight. It was just something she interpreted. I didn't want to tell her what was up. Yeah,
miscommunication.
Yeah, and she took it to mean, I don't feel close to her. I just, I didn't want to get into it. I'm fine. I'll be fine. Life's rough. Whatever.
Yeah.
I totally get that.
Yeah. If Prabhupada said, if a man is a thief and people are warned that he's a thief, that is the truth. Although sometimes the truth is unpalatable, one should not refrain from speaking it. But again, remember... True, like honesty without tact is cruelty.
Exactly.
So I think we need to be very tactful. And then the last thing he says is truthfulness demands that the facts be presented as they are for the benefit of others. Mm. That is the definition of truth.
Mm. Yeah, I also think in this particular pair information that Prabhupada was talking about truthfulness, he may also be talking about like the Gita itself. Maybe
absolutely,
I'm pulling a little information here, but when he says facts should be presented as they are for the benefit of others, we've talked a lot about how this is the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Mm-hmm. And so I think it also means do not dilute the information. Mm. And I think that's such an important message in today's world because media is crazy and the kind of news, right? Like when we talk about like what's happening in the world, we are barely being honest.
Yep.
If that makes sense, right? There's so much misinformation, so much confusion. And so I think in that sense, we're talking also about whenever there's a message convey it
absolutely
truthfully.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, that's what Prabhupada did. And that's a great point because he didn't come here and water down the truth of bhakti. He came and was like, you are behaving like rascals. We need to straighten up our lives. You know, like he didn't water it down. He spoke the ultimate benefit for everybody. And I'm sure that wasn't easy coming to a place where it was like the hippies all around doing all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And he just spoke the truth. He wasn't like, I don't know. He was compassionate, but he wasn't like, it's fine. It's fine.
And Priya, you made a really good point because I didn't think about it. There's so much fake news media in the world. And I think it's only going to get worse and worse as Kali Yuga goes on, right?
Because there's no truthfulness in people.
Yeah.
People are okay going live on national TV and saying whatever.
Lies,
it's just, whatever they think is truth too. Mm-hmm. That is also hard when you don't do the research, when you don't understand the real knowledge. Yep. So, I mean, so that I think, that's Prabhupada presented the Bhagavad Gita as it is. He's saying that exactly what Krishna said, he translated for us for our benefit. And I think he's just portraying when you get information, truthfully pass it on.
Yeah absolutely.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And always asking yourself, like, this is another thing that a lot of spiritual teachers talk about in this path. Ask yourself, why am I wanting to communicate this to someone? Is it to help them grow? Am I the right person to deliver the message? Is this going to ultimately benefit them on their spiritual path? So I think that's a good filter before you go trying to school anybody. Try to ask them, am I helping them or am I going to hinder them on their spiritual path?
Good point.
I love that. Yeah. And I think also like on that same note, when you receive the message, you get really excited. When you start learning about the Bhagavad Gita, you might get really excited. And I've seen, you know, we've been in this movement for a few decades now.
Right, right.
And you see people get really excited and maybe take things a little too far.
Totally.
We got to really make sure we understand we have peers who we can talk about this because what we put forward for others should really be what Prabhupada and Krishna are saying and not our speculation from our excitement or even our speculation based on our own desires. Sometimes we might read a verse and be like, intelligence, right? And then be like, oh yeah, definitely. It just means like you have to be smart, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
we
yeah.
might make it something that yeah. it isn't, right? So like right. clarify that there is truthfulness even within our own thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Like that we are clear yes. with our understanding.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that what we put out there is right. truthful too.
Clear interpretations. Yeah.
Very beautifully said.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think it's time to wrap it up, guys. Yeah.
So this chapter 10, verse number 4 and 5, we is a very large verse. And there's, you know, as you've heard, there's many different qualities. In this particular episode, we mentioned intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness and truthfulness. Mm. And we're going to stop here and then we're going to continue the next episode with the next qualities.
Oh, sounds I love that. Good. Perfect. Cool. Pri and I are like, we didn't finish our highlights.
No, yeah. No, I figured we need yeah, to continue
it's
in the
a
next
long one.
One.
It's a long
yeah,
one.
It's a long one.
But we hope you loved it.
Yeah, we hope so you far. Loved it. And we will continue at chapter 10, text number 4 or 5 in the next episode.
Okay. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long-lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.